And we're also obviously recording this to make it into a podcast, so that's why it says recording in the corner.
Of course.
But essentially, Professor Schoonmaker recommended you to us to highlight your career in sports management over time, especially focusing on women in sports management. So just to start off with a couple of introduction questions, if you wouldn't mind giving us a quick background on yourself. And also we heard that you went to Smith College and how you made that decision to go there.
Okay, absolutely, sure. So my background is not what you would say is a traditional one. And I came from a family where we were always involved in sports. And my dad was an excellent baseball player. And he was drafted to go play professional baseball. And 2 days later, he was drafted by the U.S. government to go into military service. So he went into military service. And when he came back, he decided to start a family. So never really, you know, get married and get back, you know, to his life. And he never ended up pursuing that career. But as a family, we were always very athletically involved and inclined. And my mom was an athlete. And my brother played football at Texas Christian University. And so our whole family, we always would do things that revolved around sport. And so it was really part of kind of my DNA and what I love to do. And I went to Smith because I was also very interested in education and very interested in English. And I had this wonderful opportunity to go there and continue my studies and my athletics, and really was very happy there, and was granted something called the Sophia Smith Fellowship, which paid for a substantial part of my college experience. So as you all know, getting somebody to underwrite your financial tuition and room and board and such is always a pretty important thing.
Definitely.
So while I was there, I was probably like many of you are right now, thinking about what are my next steps, what do I want to do, and really thinking about discovering my passion. And I got involved with the Peach Basket Festival, which was the opening college basketball game that was held in Springfield. And I started to meet some people and learn more about careers in sport management. And I thought, man, I could make a life out of being involved in sport. And how terrific would that be? So I started thinking about grad schools and connected with some folks at UMass. And they have one of the top sport management programs in the country. And so I got my master's degree there and was very happy, enjoyed all of it. Started out doing an internship with a few different sport organizations while I was there, and landed doing my capstone internship with the Boston Celtics. And so I stayed there and worked with them for a while after the internship, and then moved on to work for the Patriots. And the Patriots holding company was called Commonwealth Sports Properties. And they oversaw all the stadiums that and the sport properties that belonged to the ownership group there. And I ended up doing PR, marketing, facility operations, and management with that organization. And I really loved it and worked there. And then out of the blue, I got a call from a professor of mine at UMass and my advisor. And he said to me, so we're beginning a doctoral program over here. And I know a lot about you. And he and I had stayed in contact. And he said, I think you might want to consider this. And I had done some research for him while I was there and done some teaching as like a TA kind of thing. And what I ended up doing was saying, all right, let me check this out. And next thing you know, I found myself working on my PhD. And at that point, I started doing some consulting and doing some work for the NCAA. As part of being a doctoral student, I got into the classroom, was able to teach. And at that point, I'm like, wow, this is really what I want to do. And I love this. So after completing my PhD, I had an opportunity to do some teaching at UConn in their sport management program. And at the same time, a friend of mine called me and said, Western New England is looking to start a sport management program. And here's the job description. And maybe this is something you would be interested in. And long story short, I met Professor Schrag, and he was the chair of the management department at the time that was running the search. And after you know, my rounds of interviews, I just fell in love with the campus and in love with the people there. And what's interesting is I was also looking at some other schools at the same time. I had applied at other schools. And I will tell you, I had a number of job offers, and this gets into our topic today, which is women in sport, because there were not a lot of women PhDs in sport management in the country, and there weren't a lot of women in the field. So one of my wonderful mentors once told me that sometimes you've got to understand that your what you may perceive as a disadvantage could clearly be an advantage for you. So, you know, being a woman in a field that was traditionally male dominated in that moment really worked for me, because a lot of people were looking to add a woman's perspective, somebody from professional sports, somebody who had the kind of experiences. So I guess if we're going to talk today about advice for women in business and so on and so forth, I would say, you know, never accept anything that anybody throws at you as being a disadvantage. And look at a way to leverage that, and look at a way to make the best of your situation, because sometimes you'll be surprised what can really help and open doors and create opportunities if you have that mindset.
Well, it sounds like you have a very extensive background in sports in general, leading you into the academia world, which is really interesting.
Oh, thank you. And I think, you know, I love working with students. And I've had a lot of people who have mentored me and guided me along the way. So I always feel that I want to pay that forward, and I want to work with students, male or female, to help them realize their dream careers. And I would say that one of my great joys at Western New England was working with Dr. Caprio on athletics issues. And when I first came to the campus, he asked me to oversee a study of athletics and do a white paper that spelled out he could move athletics forward. And so I spent a lot of time working with him over the years I've been here, and he's a wonderful mentor and a colleague, and actually come to be a wonderful friend. And I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to be the faculty athletic rep. And then a few years ago, he appointed me as athletic direct report. So what that means is the athletic department or the athletic director reports to me, and then I report to the president and on everything athletics. So it allows me also to stay in connection with the NCAA and with a lot of people I know in the sports world, and to open doors for students who are interested in careers or have aspirations to get involved in intercollegiate as well as pro sport.
That's interesting. So we've got some more questions, kind of more along the women in the sport management careers.
Sure.
So first one is, do you think it's harder for women to start a career in sports management than men? If so, kind of why or why not?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really an interesting question. And I would say a lot of it is situational. It depends on the organization. And in sports, we talk about the sport industry as having sport segments. So for example, there is a segment that is intercollegiate sport. There is a segment that is pro sport, a segment that's sporting goods. So what I would tell you is that many of these different segments have different variances of where they are with encouraging and inviting women to the table. So one of the things I would suggest is, you know, pro sport has traditionally been very difficult for women to break into, but I see a number of changes there. And, you know, you can't help but read the news and see there, you know, we even have more women alumni that are working in sport. And I just had a wonderful opportunity to talk to Katarina Heiergeist. And she actually is now working for the Colts in the NFL. And we have a number of students, women students, who have broken their way into pro sport. And when I was with the Celtics, I was the first woman intern they'd had full time there. So that's about 20, you know, or so years ago. And you can see how quickly that things are moving. I would say intercollegiate athletics has always been more welcoming to women because it's got an educational mission. And that's as a nonprofit. So I tend to think they have a better sensitivity. And on top of that, there is the Title IX laws that require equal opportunity and equal access for women. So that's been a field in which you started to see accelerated change, I would say. And then just to talk about some of the other segments, whether it's, you know, stadium and arena management or companies like New Balance or Reebok, I would say that they are, you know, very much progressive in terms of trying to invite women to the table and get women employees and see the value in having diversity in the workforce. But I'm also not naive. And, you know, it's very clear that business in general, and you look at the stats and you look at women's compensation versus men, and there's still a glass ceiling and there's still an old boys network. And, you know, there are still some challenges across society as a whole. So I would say that sport is not that different than most businesses. But I would highlight that in some areas, sport has really been accelerated and really mindful of trying to move equal opportunity forward.
So what advice would you give women that want to pursue a business career or in sports management, like you, something like you did?
Sure. So what I would say is I cannot underestimate the power of networking. And business and sport are all about relationships, about building relationships, getting people to know who you are, getting, you know, and then, you know, kind of putting your best foot forward and having skill sets that are desirable by businesses. So, you know, I know you guys in your classes, you probably heard about building your own brand and what does that mean and being able to provide value to a future employer. So I always suggest to students that you really have a well thought through and defined brand. Who are you? What do you stand for? What are you really good at? And how can you bring value to your future employer? So I think that's important. I think building your network and being seen, getting people to know you, using social media to define your brand and tell a really powerful story of your professionalism and who you are in the field. And then, you know, kind of the other comment I would make, and this is pretty standard, is resilience. You know, you can't give up. And we're all going to fail. And I could, you know, a whole other podcast could be on my failures in life. I'm going to tell you guys. And you just got to keep at it and you've got to keep working and you've got to realize that, you know, it may sound really corny, but every time a door closes, there's a window opening up somewhere. And you just have to be smart and you have to, you know, never give up and you got to look for the windows and you've got to be committed and you've got to keep at it. You hear a lot of no's in your lifetime. You go through a lot of, you know, negative situations, but it really shouldn't define who you are, nor should it prevent you or paralyze you in moving forward. And, you know, it's staying connected to the industry, being engaged and not giving up, and learning to be resilient. Those are critical factors in success, I think, regardless of what career you go into in business.
Thank you for sharing. Just a quick question. How do you think the increase in women in the sports management field has affected the industry overall?
You know, it's an interesting idea. And I will tell you, one of the things that I see and what I hear from colleagues is the value of diversity in general. So having a lot of people with different perspectives on your team and different skill sets, that's incredibly important. And when you bring people to the table who have had different experiences, come from different pathways in life, are members of different communities, you enhance your resources and your skills, both intellectually and physically. And we're all good at different things. And we all have different abilities and skills and perspectives. And to build an organization that welcomes and brings that whole host of things to the table only makes your organization stronger and gives your organization a wider perspective on any business decision. And also think about the host of connections you bring to the table. So I would just say that it really holds true to diversity, period. The other thing that's important, and I know you guys are, you know, are thinking about marketing and are engaged in marketing classes. So one of the things I would say is that, you know, thinking about your target markets of your organization, whether it's business or it's in sport, and having someone as an employee that represents a particular target market can give you some insights into certain consumer decisions. Or again, you always want to rely on your data, but sometimes there's an instinctual perspective or a life experience that you can share that may be somewhat representative of your target market. And then you follow that up with what your, you know, your analytics say about things and what your data say. And that, I think, can really help you make informed decisions.
I'm definitely going to have to agree with that. Just one more question from me. What do you predict for the future of the industry and the opportunities available for women in this field?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that it's changing quickly. And just as sport itself is changing, and think about, you know, the rise of extreme sports. Think about what's going on in terms of wrestling and UFC, and, you know, think about gaming as whether it's a sport or not a sport. And sport itself is changing dramatically. And with that, more and more employees are needed to drive, and good employees are needed to drive business. And I'm, you know, I'm fascinated always to watch. We've got women owners of professional teams. We have, you know, women marketing directors at the highest level of all types of sport organization. And, you know, when I was growing up, to even think there'd be a WNBA was a pipe dream, you know, and to think that I could ever play professional sport. And I'm sounding like a dinosaur now, but it happened pretty quickly that now we have professional women's sports leagues. You know, we have women in USA Soccer demanding equity and pay with the men's players, and having those issues and having women in high profile positions. I see this more as a growing trend. And if you really think about it, you know, what we're going through now with the pandemic and how, you know, we're all working and what we're doing, this has all become the great equalizer, hasn't it? In terms of, doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, it, you know, in terms of your ability to do your you know, your work, it really depends on, you know, how you think. And that's really not gender driven. And, you know, in many ways, I'd like to encourage students to think about the future and how can we best prepare. And so right now, one of the things we're talking a lot about as a faculty is what skill set do you need to be a great remote worker? And we know that companies have been moving that way for the last decade and have developed remote workforces. But now within 3 weeks, all of us are being demanded to become good remote workers. So we're learning a lot about what skill sets, what technology, what kind of traits that you might have personally that help you do well, what personalities. This is all great fodder for research. And I see in the distant, you know, not too far in the future that we're going to have things like a remote worker certificate. So you're able to have a group of classwork, just like an SAP certificate, that really shows that you're very competent at this and you can bring that as a skill set to a company. And I would guarantee that all of you would get jobs today, because so many companies are struggling with how do they support their workers going remotely, and what kind of things that they need to do to support a remote work. So it's a long way to come back to the work world in general is changing really, really quickly. And employers' expectations are changing quickly, and technology-based, analytics-based, but also having the ability to connect with people and develop relationships are critical. So sport is no different. And the sport world, I believe, will continue to explode and continue to reinvent itself, much like business does. And in some ways, if you think about it, the world of artificial intelligence, you know, we're seeing more and more of that. And that's coming to the world of sport as well. So we've got to be smart in terms of forecasting. What's it gonna be like, right?
Another question is, could you describe the challenges that women entrepreneurs face with starting a business in the sports management industry? And what tips would you have for dealing with them?
Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting question. I think some of this is, you know, what we've been talking about already is, you know, I think the many of the challenges that entrepreneurs face doesn't matter, you know, relative to gender, that, you know, it's always capitalization, it's always bringing your product or your idea to life. It's about making sure that, you know, you have the right team and the resources to do this, and, you know, things you've all learned in classes. Where it may be for women is, you know, anytime you are in a minority of a group of people doing things, you can always expect that there is going to be some resistance, some incredulity, you know, some questioning about, you know, why is this person here? And I will just share with you a quick story about perspective. In my career, I also did some basketball officiating in high school and in college. And I was in reffing a college game once, and a coach was not happy with me for not calling a foul. And I went by, ran by the bench, and he said to me, "Hey, sweetheart, that's not a necklace, it's a whistle. And you know, maybe you ought to use it." And I thought, well, that's creative trash talk, you know. But the flip side is, I think that represents, unfortunately, some mindsets that you just don't belong here. And therefore, you may be under a much broader scrutiny from day one. And I've heard that from a lot of women, young women and more senior women in business, that they still fight these preconceived notions about where women belong, what women can do, what women cannot do. And I think that many groups face that, you know, whether it's religious or whether it is a nationality or whether it's race, that there are certain preconceptions that are held about you just because of how you look. And I always say excellence isn't gender-based. And so I always think about what can I do to be more excellent at what I am to help inform the, you know, the people who are on the outside or on the inside, you know, criticizing you for what you're doing. And you'll never change all the minds, and you have to accept that. But I think if you are comfortable in your own skin, you know what you're doing, you're confident that you can overcome those things. And that's where the resilience, you know, comes to play. And I guess the advice I would give is, you know, find a support system and find people you can talk to, find people who have done what you've done. And mentorship is critically important, and people who can open doors for you. And often I tell sport management students, it's who you know that will get you in the door. It's what you know that will keep you in the door. So it's just a matter of developing that group of people that you can talk to that have had similar experiences and have a learning mindset. You always should be learning throughout your life. You know, we all think we get through college and yay, we're done, but it's just the beginning, actually. You know, you're always, always learning, and you want to learn so you can stay relevant, you can stay valuable, and obviously so you can give back to your community.
Well, I think that sounds like a great piece of advice, so thank you for that. One final question, just to wrap it up, that we have here are kind of just general business questions.
Sure.
Specifically, because obviously we've been talking about the issues that women have in entering the sports management field. First, why do you think gender disparity is still an issue in today's business world in general, whether it be sportman or any other industry in the business world? What do you think the cause of that still is?
Yeah. You know, if I had the answer to that, I wish I did. And what I will say is I have some perceptions on things that I can share with you. And one thing I will say is that it comes, you know, if you look at history and you look at changes, I think things will occur over time. And I think you also have to look at the time in which various people were brought up, what was acceptable to them, their experiences. And we kind of go back to that. So I think about, you know, my dad, great guy, was a business leader, very smart, knew what he was doing. And every now and then, you know, he would make a comment that to me, I perceived to be a little bit, you know, based on how he grew up and his generation and how they felt about women. So, you know, an example might be I'm out there spading my garden and he would say, "Sherry, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, it's like, that's difficult work for you. You shouldn't be doing that. Let me help you." And I knew underlying, he was my dad. He wanted to help me and, you know, like all good dads, and he didn't want to put me through the agony or the physical notion of doing this. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I thought, geez, I wonder if he would have said that to me if it was my brother, you know? And so you never really, really know exactly what that looks like and in people's mindset. But I think we're all a product of our upbringing. We're all, you know, a product of our community and our generation. And I think that there are still certain decision makers in places that have perspectives that are undergirded, as it were, by some experiences where maybe women weren't as welcome. And, you know, it's a really, really interesting thing to change. It changes over time. It changes with people being outspoken. It changes with people advocating for one another. And I'm so delighted to be at Western New England and work with your generation. You guys are going to be changing the world. And, you know, some of the people in my generation were trailblazers. They were first at the table to do that. So they were a lot of the people, you know, and I like to say, think of Jackie Robinson in professional sport being the first African-American. And you think about what he endured. And if you look over time, you know, any kind of integration of people into a community takes time, and there are these steps that are followed. So kind of the first wave of people are the ones that are the trailblazers and the trailbreakers. And then you get the next generation who come in and they're proving themselves on the heel of that trailblazers. And then the next generation comes in and says, "Yeah, well, why haven't we been doing this all along? And everybody needs to be at the table, and I see the value." So to me, I think, you know, some places, some cultures, some organizations, it takes a little bit longer, but I have no doubt, and I see it happening already. Your generation, you guys are changing the world, and you are making those inroads, and you'll continue to benefit, and you'll broaden the doorway for others behind you.
Okay, thank you. So last but not least, what advice do you have for women pursuing a career in a traditional male-oriented business or career?
So, you know, in addition to the things I've talked about in terms of, you know, building yourself a network, being prepared, know what you're doing, being competent, being self-confident. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as I mentioned, resilience is incredibly important. And I also think presence is important. So being there, being visible, getting your name known, being good at what you do, thinking about how you're building your reputation, how you're building your brand. And it's interesting, some of the women entrepreneurs and others I've talked to have said, you know, women tend to want to work harder to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping there will come a time where we will all take that approach, that, you know, we all come to the table trying to prove ourselves and trying to bring our best selves. And I think that women have seen that as the only gateway to being good at what they do. I have to work harder. I have to be better than everybody else. And my response to that is, no, you don't. What you have to do is bring to the table your best self. You don't have to prove yourself other than other men in the room or other people in the room, whoever that might be. Just be confident that you are always bringing your best self to any business or any organization or any situation. And that's good enough. You know, that's good enough. And there's been a lot of books written about the notion of leaning into things, and you can't have it all as a woman. And sometimes women are their own worst critics. And we have to, I think, really look at things as I am good. I've done my homework. I don't have to be better than everybody else in the room. I just have to be the best version of myself. And that is sufficient to succeed in the business world.
Well, thank you so much for all of your advice. I know I really benefited from having this conversation with you, and hearing about just your history of everything that you've done in your career was really interesting. I didn't know half of that. And I wasn't expecting half of that.
Well, you know what? I have to tell you guys, you're making me feel really old. And, you know, the other thing that always happens is, you know, we're all so busy living our lives that when you go through experiences like this, you have to kind of step back and think about it. And you say, wow, I really have walked a lot of miles. No wonder my feet are sore.
Definitely. Well, that wraps up for all of our questions that we had for you. Unless there was anything that you want to talk about that you felt we didn't ask you or you want to cover.
No, I just want to say, you know, how much I appreciate you guys and your hard work and your flexibility in adjusting to this challenging situation. And I wish you guys only the best. And, you know, please let me know now that I've met you all virtually, you know, my door will be open someday again soon. And my virtual door is always open. So please, you know, never hesitate to reconnect if there's anything I can do for you.
Thank you so much. I think that about wraps it up. Unless anyone else has anything, guys.
Thank you very much, Ms. Walker. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, you're very welcome, guys. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the weekend. And everybody, please stay safe and stay well.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.